But I just want to remind you that in Mark chapter 16, at the end of that chapter, verses 17 and 18, we have five supernatural, miraculous signs that the Bible says should follow in believers' lives. And I don't personally think that the church can fulfill its divine destiny without those signs. But I think Satan will do everything he can to make sure that we don't walk in the faith where those signs are working in our midst. The fifth sign has to do with the statement that believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, I know that's true. I've seen that happen. Rather than say, why don't we see more of this happening, I'd rather focus on how I believe we can experience this truth more fully. So please open your ears, because I feel God has something for us and for the church, and there's so many hurting people, so many sick people. We need to see this particular gift in operation. Can anybody say amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, help us as we look at your word. God, help us to get the revelation of what the Great Commission is all about and what you want to do. We want to see this fifth miraculous sign in the church. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Well, I'm going to focus on how I believe we can experience this truth more fully. So I would ask you to turn with me to 2 Peter, the New Testament, chapter 1. Look with me at the beginning verses of chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. I think we can all agree when we look at the New Testament that we have a precious faith, don't we? Isn't it precious? Something precious? Verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So we need more revelation and knowledge of this precious faith if we're going to believe those five miraculous signs that are stated in the Great Commission. In fact, knowledge needs to be multiplied in our lives, and I'm praying that'll happen tonight. Verses 3 and 4 says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I mean, these are powerful words. God's divine nature and his power is available to us. It's a glorious thing, Scripture says. Hallelujah. Now, I want to focus on this thought that is brought out at the last word of verse 3. It talks about virtue. Virtue must be a tremendous key in the releasing of God's divine power in our ministries. This word virtue as you find it in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word kahil. And the focus is on just the release of divine power. I mean, there is divine power. The Bible talks about it. But when it's released in our life, that's linked to the word virtue. And that's the key. If we're going to lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover, there's got to be some virtue that's got to be released. more than just laying on of hands and getting excited, because nothing happens. It's when virtue is released that divine power brings about that healing. That's what I want to see in our church. I want to see it in the church at large. I want to see it in my own life. How about virtue? Look what it says in verse 5. The verse tells us, add to your faith virtue. Okay, we can have faith without virtue. But add to your faith virtue. So God wants us not only to have faith in God, but the kind of faith where we've got a supply within us that can be released as we touch other lives. And that's the, I believe, the key to they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. How do you add to your faith virtue? We're people of faith or we wouldn't be here tonight. How do we add virtue so that we can see these miraculous signs fulfilled in our life? I'd have to look at Jesus as the example, and I want to take a couple texts. And in fact, you should turn there with me, and we'll read it together. Turn to Mark chapter 5. Trying to deal with virtue. Mark chapter 5. Pick it up in verse 25. A certain woman had an issue of blood for 12 years, so she probably had cancer. She had suffered many things of many physicians. She spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. Now notice this. Jesus immediately knew that virtue went out of him. So he not only had faith, he had a supply of virtue that could go out and, in this case, heal cancer. That gives us some insight as to how we can add to our faith virtue. He turned about and he said, who touched me? His disciples said, well, you see the multitude. How can we know who touched you? He looked around about and he saw this woman. She feared and trembled because she knew she was healed. She was touched. She came down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. So it's possible to know when virtue goes out of you. Jesus knew it went out of him. Move ahead with me, would you, to Luke chapter 6. Another reference where we can look at the word virtue. In verse 12 of chapter 6, it's a time that Jesus had called his 12 disciples. Verse 12 says, "He in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God. And then he came down from the mountain," and verse 17 says, "he came down with the disciples. He stood in the plain with the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, they also were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him." Why? Because virtue went out of him. There wasn't just faith. There was a supply of faith called virtue that was added to his faith that could go out and touch people's lives. To me, that could be the missing key. So many times we've laid hands on sick. We haven't seen the results we'd like to see. I think this is one of the keys. To add to our faith virtue. Talk a little bit about how we can do that. Certainly, we'd have to agree it's available, right? If the Bible says add to your faith virtue. And it's not just for a few super duper evangelists, it's for believers. A master key to adding to your faith virtue seems to be the second commandment. How do you come to the place that you can love your neighbor as yourself? Just a few weeks ago, I felt God was leading me, and I felt the congregation following, but boy, did I feel Satan rise up against it. Just calling the people to kind of fulfill the first commandment of loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength by just worshiping him, lifting up our hands in worship. And Satan comes like a flood to fight that. Because until we really move into the first commandment of loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, I don't think the virtue to flow out to other people is going to be there. I think to your faith you have to add love. The Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians 13, faith can do mighty things, but without love it's not going to profit. There's something that is added when love is there. So I think one of the keys that I just don't want to give up on is coming into a true worship of God in the first commandment, and then that flowing of love fills your heart to where virtue can go out and touch other people. I don't think that's too hard to see. The last time I had a physical, I complained about this tinnitus situation, which they tell me it's kind of a breakdown of the inner ear. And I said, well, what can we do about it? And I was basically told that, I mean, your warranty's run out. We can give you something for the symptoms, but parts are worn out. We can't do anything about that. And since then, I've thought, that's basically true. I thank God for the tremendous health I've had, way beyond the 70. But, I was just impressed that God's not limited. And if he has a purpose for us in our lives, something like this could happen. Somebody could be anointed to lay hands on me at the right time. Not just to lay hands because the Bible says lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, but because they've got virtue built up in them. And something like that could happen in a second. I could be healed. I talked to somebody recently that fixed up an old 57 Chevy and made it look better than it was when it was new. So if man can do that, God could fix up this little vessel, take care of that tinnitus, and make it as good as it was when it was new. But it can't just be somebody that wants to shout and lay hands and blah, 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 blah. Virtue's got to be released. And I don't think that can happen without a genuine filling of the love of God in somebody's heart where you could love your neighbor as yourself. And I felt like you know, we can begin to worship, and you begin a congregation to begin to lift their hands and worship. And after about 30 seconds or 45 seconds, I feel like I need to go over to Jeff and start pumping. That's not going to get it done. How do we break through? And really give God the glory that he deserves, the majesty on high. And come into that place where we're really worshiping him. And then the love of God can so build up in us that these signs will follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I hope we can get beyond the 30 to 40 second praise sessions. That's just my prayer as a pastor. And you'll have to admit that Satan does not want us to enter into something like that. Amen? Be professional. Do the things that modern corporations do. But don't get down to really believing that sign's going to happen. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I've seen it happen. I don't think I could settle for anything less. When the opportunity presents itself where we can enter into worship, why is it so hard? We can watch a television program and get excited, but we can't praise him more than 30 seconds. Why? It has to be a real strong spirit in the world that just doesn't want us to do that. Or else we don't have the multiplied revelation of what can happen if we do it. And can't you imagine the ministry that could be available to each one of you, myself included, in a days just ahead, if we could come into a greater place where added to our faith, we've added virtue. That's a supply of love that then can flow out to others. There's so many scriptures that tell me it's a battle we're going to have to face in these last days. The Bible talks about at the time of the coming, the midnight hour, when the Lord's going to come, talks about the 10 virgins, and the big problem is they ran out of oil. It was 5 wise and 5 foolish. They all had enough for their lanterns. They had the revelation of the word. They just didn't have it in their vessels. They did not have extra oil. We need that extra reserve so that it's not just working in our own lives, but we run into a situation where when Pastor Bob needs healing, somebody's got to step up with the touch of God on him, enough with the virtue to do something that the world cannot do. So I think what I'm encouraging tonight, as we close the service, I want to just review just 3 or 4 verses here about how God says we've got to be willing to lift up our hands to worship the Most High God. That'll take pride right out of you. If we want to have any kind of a release of virtue in our lives. And can we go 50 seconds tonight? Can we break the record? I mean, that's what's got to happen. Turn with me to these scriptures in Psalm 134. Psalm 134, it's a very short psalm. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Well, we're standing here in the house of the Lord. There's a big Nuggets game going on down at Pepsi Center, but I'm in the house of God. I'd rather be here. What are we supposed to do? Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Bless the Lord. Why? Why? I just say, well, because he's God. We're his man. He's much bigger than we are. He's the majesty on high. He deserves it. And not only does he deserve it, but he says, if you'll flow with me, then I'll flow back into you. Then you can start walking in the second commandment. You can love your neighbor as yourself. Somebody can lay hands on me when the time is right, and this tinnitus will be gone. I'll be like that classic 57 Chevy. Better than new. Isn't that possible?
Yes.
Thank God. Doctors tell you the truth. We can help you with the symptoms, but parts are worn out. Well, then let God do a miracle. Amen. There's the example. Verse 3 says, the Lord that made heaven and earth then will bless thee out of Zion. From his heavenly presence, he'll come into your life. If you're that kind of a person that's done that, and you have a reserve vessel, not just enough oil to keep your own faith in the Word of God, but you've got in your vessel, you've got a supply of oil that you could flow out to others. God will bless you out of Zion. Move ahead to Psalm 141. Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear to my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. You know, a lot of Christian denominations will laugh at that. Fanaticism. Are you going to throw this book away? This is the Bible. Say, well, that's just in the Old Testament. Okay, then let's turn to the New Testament. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Paul says in verse 7 that he says, I'm an ordained preacher. He says, I'm an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ. I'm a teacher to the Gentiles. How many are Gentiles here tonight? Most of us. He's speaking to us in faith and verity. What does he say you need to do? You need to practice the first commandment, he says. I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Not just in some small Pentecostal church, but in cathedrals. Look at their wealth and all the things they have there too. Lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So it's something that has to be done from the heart, in a right spirit, and it honors God. I mean, it's to me, I'm just surrendering to God. I mean, who made the mountains and who made the trees and who made the rivers that flow to the seas? Who wrote the song for the robins to sing? I mean, somebody bigger than you and I. Man doesn't like to think that there's somebody bigger than he and I. He thinks he's number one. We're created a little lower than the angels. God is way up there. We're lifting up our hands to him, to the majesty on high. Satan knows once that thing breaks through that the miracle is going to happen. That's why I felt a tremendous wave of the enemy trying to fight us since we had a couple of good Sundays there doing that. He doesn't want it. He knows what will happen. He knows virtue will be released. People will be healed. They can't be healed necessarily just because you say you have faith in God. You have virtue. You've got to add to your faith virtue. That's a supply that can go out. That's something I'm really praying for, for this church. Now, the Bible says that in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 2, that as we lift up our hands to Him, then we can enter into the doctrine of laying on of hands of others, because we've got a supply of virtue. And would you believe that the doctrine of laying on of hands is one of the six cardinal doctrines of the church? It's important, because virtue can be released. So I know this. I don't think I've done what Jesus. It's been a long time since I've been up all night praying. Sometimes we have to get serious with God. And then He sees that commitment of wanting to really worship Him for who He is. Then the second commandment is like the first, then you're going to love your neighbor as yourself, and there's going to be a flowing out, and this could happen. So it takes more than just faith. It takes virtue added to faith. It's an extra supply of faith, I would say. There have been so many tremendous examples in the Bible of people that had virtue flowing out of their lives. That story of Ruth the Moabite, where she came to Bethlehem, she must have been a gem. Because the Bible says that she so loved the Jewish people, and she so loved the God of Israel. The Bible said that everybody in Bethlehem knew that she was a virtuous woman. She wasn't just a talker or a churchgoer. They knew that virtue flowed out of her. Everybody in Bethlehem. And she was a Gentile. Hallelujah. Proverbs 31:10 says that the price of a virtuous woman is far above rubies. And that holds true for a man. I remember once that I went to some years back, but it just comes to me. I went to the Veterans Hospital when it was off of 9th there. And there was a family, a dear family that I loved down in Springfield, and they had a relative that was there in the hospital. It was pretty bad. And when I went there was just something about, I don't know, I felt like I was so in God's will, and there was such an anointing. When I laid hands on that man, I don't know, there was something there. I just knew virtue. I didn't call it virtue, but I knew something happened. It was on a Saturday night. Sunday, I had Sunday school, two services in the morning, a Sunday evening service. I didn't even have a chance to check. I called the hospital on Monday morning, said, "Guy's healed, he's going home." I know it's virtue, but I've got to come to a place where it's there. Hallelujah. You've read about that example of the virtuous woman, Proverbs 31. Closes by saying, "Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all." So I think we are going to have to come to the place where we realize we've been pounded with faith, prosperity, believing, but the greatest need is the baptism of love, so the virtue can be released. Hallelujah. What I would just like to ask you to do tonight, because I want to keep this church moving in that direction. If virtue would start to be released, you couldn't handle the people. There's so many people out there that have needs. If I could just ask you tonight, if we could kind of encompass the altar, if you feel like I do, I could keep on preaching. But I'd like Ingrid to lead us in some worship songs. I just want to tell the devil we can praise God more than 30 seconds. We can lift our hands more than 30 seconds. And I'm not ashamed to lift my hands to him. And rather than preach, I just would ask you, would you join with me tonight in doing that? And ask God in these days that tumultuous times could be ahead, the tremendous need to add virtue to our faith, to meet the needs of unknown number of people. It's going to have to start with honoring God in the first commandment, and only then will it flow into the second commandment. You're not going to have faith to love others as yourself until you're saturated in that first commandment. I don't want to preach anymore. Could you lead us in a chorus? Before we go home, I just want to let the devil know we can praise, we can lift our hands for longer than 30 seconds, 45 seconds.